read first from the book of Genesis in chapter 12, the story of the call of Abram, which represents the Lord's first awareness in this world. And Yehovah said to Abram, "Go out of thy land and from thy birth and from thy father's house to the land that I will cause thee to see, and I will make thee into a great nation, and I will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless thee, those who bless thee, and curse him who reviles thee. And in thee shall all the families of the ground be blessed." And Abram went as Yehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was a son of 5 years and 70 years when he went out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and their very acquisition that they had acquired, and the soul that they had made in Haran. And they went out to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now we're taught in the Arcana Celestia that this was the very first awareness of the Lord. It says in Arcana Celestia 1414, "As the Lord is here treated of, more arcana are contained than can ever be thought of and declared. For here in the internal sense is meant the Lord's first state when he was born, which state, because most deeply hidden, cannot well be set forth to the comprehension. Suffice it to say that the Lord was like other men, except that he was conceived of Yehovah and was still born of a virgin mother, and by birth derived weaknesses from the virgin mother like those of man in general. These weaknesses are bodily, and it is said of them in this verse that he should recede from them," that is, go back from them, "in order that heavenly and spiritual things might be presented for him to see." There are two hereditary natures inborn in man, one from the father and the other from the mother. The Lord's heredity from the Father was divine, but his heredity from the mother was weak, a weak human. This weak nature, which the Lord derives hereditatively from the mother, is something bodily and is dispersed when he is being regenerated, while that which a man derives from his father remains to eternity. But the Lord's heredity from Yehovah, as was said, was divine. Another secret, or arcanum, is that the Lord's human was also made divine. In him alone there was a correspondence of all things of the body with the divine, a most perfect correspondence, infinitely perfect, giving rise to the union of the bodily things with the divine celestial or heavenly things, and the sensuous things, the things from the senses, with the divine spiritual things. And thus he was the perfect man and the only man. And we read further from the Gospel of Luke about how the Lord was conceived and then born. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Mary. And the angel coming into her said, 'Hail, thou who art graced, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.' But when she saw him, she was disturbed by his word and reasoned within herself what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.' But Mary said to the angel, 'How shall this be, since I know not a man?' And the angel answering said to her, 'The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that which is holy is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy kinswoman Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God not any saying shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy saying. And the angel departed from her. And then in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it says that Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed wife, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should bring forth. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. We read from the Arcana Celestia 4592, that all men, whatever, are born natural, with the power of becoming either celestial or spiritual. But the Lord alone was born spiritual, celestial. For this reason, he was born at Bethlehem, where is the boundary of the land of Benjamin. For Benjamin signifies the spiritual of the celestial. And by Benjamin is represented the spiritual of the celestial. The reason why the Lord alone was born spiritual, celestial, is that the divine was in him. And the reason why the Lord was born there and not elsewhere is that he alone was born spiritual, celestial man, but all others natural, with the ability or capacity to become celestial or spiritual by regeneration from the Lord. The reason why the Lord was born a spiritual, celestial man was that he might make his human divine. And this was according to order from the lowest degree to the highest, and might thus dispose into order all things in the heavens and in the hells. And we read further in the Apocalypse Explained, For the same reason the Lord was born in Bethlehem, because he was born a king, and truth conjoined to good was in him from birth. For every infant is born natural, and the natural, because it is next to the external senses and the world, is first opened. And this with all men is ignorance of truth and desirous of evil. But in the Lord alone, the natural had a desire for good and a longing for truth. For the ruling affection in man, which is his soul, is from the Father. And with the Lord, the affection or soul from the Father was the divine itself, which is the divine good of the divine love. Amen. And our readings, blessed are they who hear the word of God. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be of good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today we're going to speak of the Lord at the time he was born. As we heard from our reading, there are deep arcana, deep secrets in this story, so deep that there is no way we can fully comprehend the Lord and what he was thinking or feeling when he was born. But it is worth getting an idea of this, because this is our Savior who was born into the world. And what were his names when he was born? Do you remember some of them? Do you remember some of the names that the Lord had when he was born? She said, You will bring forth your firstborn child, and you will call his name Jesus. Jesus, or in Hebrew, Yehoshua, which means Yehovah the Savior. The Lord came into the world to save his people, and so he was called Yehovah the Savior. Another name he was given, as he was conceived of a virgin, was Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this child was truly holy, and so it is also said that he is the Holy One that would be born of Mary. And he would be called the Son of the Highest, and the Son of God. When we think of a baby, it's very hard sometimes to understand how this baby could be God himself born into the world. And so the heavenly doctrine reveals to us in a somewhat dark way, a somewhat obscure way, but as much as we can comprehend what was with the Lord when he was born. And it says that the first thing in the story of the Lord when he was born was the story of Abram. In his earliest infancy, And the first words of this story are, Yehovah said to Abram. Yehovah said to Abram signifies the first awareness of all of the Lord. That was the first thing the Lord, when he was born in the world, was aware of. You might say the voice of Yehovah. It was his divine soul, and yet to him it was his father as he was born, for he was just a baby. He couldn't comprehend the whole universe in his human. Yes, as to his soul, he could. As to his soul, he was still the creator of the universe, the maintainer of the universe, loving each and every one of us, and here to save. But in his human, the thoughts were that of a baby. And the first thought, if we can call it a thought, the first feeling was, Yehovah said to Abram, the voice of Yehovah calling him. And what did the voice say to him? It said to come out of thy land, out of the father's house. And by the father's house here is not meant the house of Yehovah, because remember later the Lord was in his father's house, in the temple. What it meant was to come out of this obscurity of the natural. He was called forth in his very first moment, his very first awareness, to come out of what was merely bodily and of the senses, to think more deeply, if we can call it thought, to feel more deeply, to feel what was heavenly and spiritual around him. So it says over and over again in the writings that the Lord, unlike any other man, was born a heavenly man or a heavenly spiritual man. He was, as it was represented by Benjamin, born into both the natural world and the heavenly and spiritual world. The Lord was aware not only of the manger and the swaddling clothes around him, he was actually aware of heaven and the angels around him. And you can kind of see this with little babies as well. You can see that they sort of feel the angels around them. But with the Lord, he was called forth so this was clear to him. And even more than that, he could feel the divine within him. He didn't understand yet. He had not yet an understanding. He had not yet learned things. But he could feel these things, for he was God on earth. And so, when this is why he was born in Bethlehem. Because Bethlehem meant this very thing. Do you remember how many sons Jacob had? Jacob had 12 sons. And 11 of them were born in the land of Paddan Aram, in Syria. But one was born in the land of Canaan, actually in Bethlehem. And his name was Benjamin. Now, Benjamin represents in our own life the state we can attain, the highest state, a heavenly spiritual state that we can get to. And that is like the most ancients in many ways. But the Lord was born into that state. He was born a celestial man. And because of this, the Lord had something when he was born that only a very, very regenerate man can have. Perhaps 70, 80 years old if he reaches that. It's not a state like the most ancients. And it says because of that, he had what was called the truth of the senses. The truth of the senses was represented by Lot, Abram's brother. And that is why when Abram left the land where he was born, the land of Haran, which represents a very obscure state of mind, when he left, it says Lot went with him. Lot, his brother, he brought him with him. And the reason why he brought him, along with Sarai, his wife, was because of what Lot signified, which was this truth from the senses. And we're taught in the Heavenly Doctrine in 1434 in the Arcana Celestia, sensuous truth, or truth from the senses, consists in seeing all earthly and worldly things as being created by God. And in each and every thing for a purpose. And in all things whatever, a certain image of God's kingdom. This sensuous truth, or truth from the senses, is insinuated solely with the celestial man. And as the Lord alone was a celestial man, these and similar truths from the senses were insinuated into him in his earliest childhood, whereby he was prepared for the reception of heavenly things. And so the Lord, when he was born, was able to receive truths from his senses, because he was born a celestial man. Now, the most ancients were able to do this. For instance, Bethlehem, which is also called Ephrata, was a city, a place that the most ancients had been in. And all the places in the land of Canaan were named these names by the most ancients because they knew what these places meant. They knew when they looked at a place, because they had a perception from heaven, they knew the correspondence, and so they would give them heavenly names. And so this place, Ephrata, or Bethlehem, the house of bread, was named because it represented the spiritual from the celestial, which means truths that actually come forth from a good heart. This is what the most ancients saw in this place. And so the Lord was also born a heavenly man, a celestial man. And so he would have a perception, a feeling of where he was born. And he, because he was around the angels that were around that place, would have a sensation, a truth from the senses. This was the right place to be born. And so although it was named this in the prophecies so the wise men could find him and so that we could understand it in the spiritual sense later when we get older and other people could understand it and the angels can understand it when we're reading it, the most important reason of all that the Lord was born in Bethlehem is so that he could feel this, so that he would have a truth from the senses that he was born a spiritual heavenly man, so that he could hear, as it were, the voice of Yahuwah calling him forth out of the obscurity of mere infancy into a heavenly state. And we have to remember, he's still a baby. For a comparison, let's think about a baby who leaves this world in the first hours of his birth. He leaves his parents very, very sad, but there is going to be an angel in heaven who receives him, a female angel, which is like a mother to him. And you know what's interesting? When a child is raised in heaven, who do you think they think their father is? Yes?
The Lord.
The Lord. They don't think of the husband of the mother that raises him. They see him very much like the Lord saw Joseph. Because they're born almost into heaven. They die very quickly and they're raised in heaven and the Lord is with them. In one place it says, the angels of the little one behold the face of their father continually. And so a little baby in heaven knows almost at his birth who his father is because the Lord is visible in heaven. And so in a way we get an idea of what it was like for the Lord to be born because he was called immediately forth and he could see as it were as he tried to focus those little eyes of his, Yahuwah as his father, who was really his soul, his very life. But as a baby, he would see this as his father. And so in the same way, a baby raised in heaven would see the Lord as his father. And it even says that a baby raised in heaven doesn't even know that he was born into this world. And so he knows from his very birth, all the way along, that the Lord is his father. And of course, that's very true. But we're given a natural father here so that we can come forth as a normal person here. The Lord, though, did not have a natural father. And so he was born as a heavenly child into the world. Now, there's other things that the Lord learned as truths from his senses. What do you think was the first thing Mary did when the Lord was born? Perhaps it was a little chilly that night. You can think of December, right? In the time right now, a little chilly outside. What do you think the first thing Mary would have done when the Lord was born? What do you think it was? Yes?
Swaddling clothes.
Exactly. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes, according to the heavenly doctrine, represent the first truths the Lord received. Truths of innocence. Now, the Lord is a baby at this time in the world, at least as to his human. As to his divine, of course, he's very aware of what's going on. But the Yahuwah calling him forth allowed him to perceive what these swaddling clothes were. And he would feel them as spiritual clothes around his spiritual body. And spiritual clothes are divine truths. That's what clothes the angels. That's why sometimes the celestial angels are seen without any clothes in the celestial heaven because they have wisdom. They don't need all these truths. But a little baby, it says about the Lord when he was born, that a baby needs these clothes, especially if it's chilly outside. And so the very first thing that Mary did was to wrap him in swaddling clothes, which represents these first truths of infancy. And so the Lord Remember how he was born? He was born longing for good and truth. And he had a perception. He wasn't thinking this through, but he knew he needed something when he was born. He needed something, and that was these swaddling clothes, these very first spiritual clothings. And so as he felt them around his body, he was learning something. He was learning that he had to put on the word, that he had to learn truth. Now, he didn't learn this and think about it. He felt it in a way that we just cannot imagine. And so the Lord, as he is born, is wrapped in these swaddling clothes. And the next thing she did was to... Yes?
Lay him in a manger.
Now, we are taught why he was laid in a manger. The reason he was laid in a manger is because the writings say, yes?
There was no room at the inn.
That's right. And what was nice is for the Lord, his awareness right when he was born, he didn't feel that. Instead, he felt the presence of the manger, which was very nice for him. He didn't feel like the world was rejecting him yet. Later, he learned that as he grew older. But the Lord protected him. Yehovah, you might say, his soul within was given to Mary, and she protected him, wrapping him in the swaddling clothes and laying him in a manger. Because in the manger is where horses eat from. And so whether there was hay still in the manger or still a smell of hay, the Lord, because of the correspondence of hay or what a horse feeds from, could feel that this was how to understand the word, which is what a horse corresponds to. Because remember, he is also in the spiritual world. Now we can say, well, how would he know that a horse eats hay? How does a horse know that a horse eats hay? A horse has a perception of that from the spiritual world. How much more the Lord? But he's not going to think, oh, there's a horse in this. He's going to feel the need to understand, to go further, to not just know these truths like the swaddling clothes, but to actually go further with them. It's a feeling, a longing that's being satisfied by being laid in a manger. And so for the Lord, being laid in a manger was even more important than for the shepherds who saw this as a sign that this was the Savior, Christ the Lord, being born into the world. Now, what else do you think Mary did for the Lord? Why was he born of a natural mother here? Because he was born a baby, and a baby needs a mother. And so, we'll read a passage from the book of Isaiah, and it'll be pretty clear what Mary also did for the Lord. It says in Isaiah chapter 7, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name God with us, or Emmanuel. Butter and honey he shall eat, that he may know to reject the evil and choose the good. For before the Lord knows to reject the evil and choose the good, the land which thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of its two kings. It shall come to pass in that day, by reason of the abundance of milk they yield, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the midst of the land." One of the things that Mary did for the Lord was to nurse him, to give him that sweet mother's milk, which from the milk, it says, the butter comes, the best things of the milk. So the Lord grew in the very beginning from the milk of his mother Mary. But the Lord, when he tasted that sweet milk, he tasted the butter and honey. And what does that mean? It means the butter and honey signifies the goods of love. For the Lord, this milk was good because in it was the butter and the sweetness like honey. And the butter represents good of celestial and spiritual love. And the good of natural love is the honey. Now we can think, well, it was butter and honey. Well, the Lord was also tasting it spiritually. And butter and honey in the spiritual world really are manifestations of these goods of love. Goods of love in the highest sense with the butter, and goods of love in the lower sense with the honey, the sweetness. Now that's why a baby likes to drink the mother's milk, because it tastes good and nourishes the body. But a baby doesn't understand this. Did the Lord understand it? We could say he felt it. He perceived in this the nutrition that he was having, not just for the natural body that was born, but for the spiritual body, for the human, the divine human that he was putting on, the need for these goods for him to receive. And he knew he needed to receive them by way of truth, which is represented by the milk For it says, milk signifies truth with from which through which good comes, as butter signifies the good therefrom. And by reason of the abundance of yielding milk, butter shall everyone eat in the land, signifies that every truth shall, from every truth, good shall come. And so the Lord was seeking out, remember he was hungering, for goods and truths. Now it's hard for us to understand this, but spiritual milk is truth, from which comes heavenly good. And that, when we're in the spiritual world, we'll understand these things. For example, when people are reading and understanding the word, you can sometimes see them at a distance riding horses, because horses correspond to this. So in the spiritual world, this is very easy to see. In the natural world, it's much more difficult. But the Lord was born a heavenly spiritual man. And so he was able to feel these things. Feel them. I can't say that he was thinking this through as we do right now, because he was a baby. And yet all of these things, these goods and these truths, in the form of their heavenly form, was there to nourish him as a child, to grow. And what is amazing is what Lot signifies is the first truths. And so Lot was brought to Abraham. But later it says Lot was separated from him, because when the Lord received these things, there was still something earthly and bodily about them that was merely natural from the mother. But the Lord was able to distinguish them and take from them those things that would serve to be conjoined to the divine itself. And so the Lord, as he was building his body, was the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And so when the shepherds came and they saw him lying in the manger with swaddling clothes, they saw their Savior there. And the Lord was indeed feeling this. Think to the story of the wise men. What did the Lord feel as they came and fell down and worshiped him? And as it says in the prophecy, giving forth the praises of Yahuwah. The Lord could feel that worship. And because he was still in the time of learning through the senses, the wise men made sure they brought the right gifts to the Lord. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because these gifts correspond to the celestial love of worship, to the spiritual love of worship, and to the natural love of worship. And so he'd be worshiped at all levels. And the wise men knew the signification. They were magi. They understood the correspondences. Did the Lord? The Lord felt them. And so the Lord made sure, through his word and through the right people being chosen, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, in his early stages of his life, being protected by Joseph from Herod, and so on, that he would be raised according to the word, so that he could put these things on, so that everything in his life would be proper, so that he could become God with us completely and totally. And it was very, very important, perhaps the most important thing of all, that his first awareness was Yahuwah calling him forth, so that he knew right away who his father was. So he never once mistook Joseph for his father. He would see Joseph as a wonderful protector, somebody who maybe, in a sense, taught him carpentry, to work with wood and so on. But what was important was he knew from the very day of his birth, from the very moment of his birth, from his very first awareness, Yahuwah, the divine soul within him, was his father, later become one so that he could become God on earth, completely and totally perfect. And thus, the very man. Amen. And now to the one only God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever.